Today on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
Which brings us to what is arguably one of the most pressing clinical questions in 2026. How long is long enough for maintenance therapy? And at what point, if ever, do we consider stopping?
Today, Drs. McMahon and Kalunian join the podcast to discuss how long is too long, maintenance therapy for patients with lupus nephritis, in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative supporter.
Hello, I'm Dr. Maureen McMahon, Professor of Medicine and Associate Chief for the Division of Rheumatology at the UCLA David Geffen School of Medicine in Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Dr. Ken Kalunian, Director of the UC San Diego Lupus Center and Professor of Medicine in the Division of Rheumatology, Autoimmunity, and Inflammation at UC San Diego in San Diego, California.
Thank you for joining me, Ken.
It's a pleasure to be here, Maureen.
Ken, today I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the updates to the ACR and EULAR lupus nephritis guidelines. And I'd like to start our discussion today regarding the problem with current treatment for patients with lupus and lupus nephritis. I've been looking at the updated ACR 2025 and EULAR 2025-2026 guidelines. The conversation has really shifted. Historically, we aim to balance flare prevention with minimizing immunosuppressive toxicity. The 2011 guidelines had no formal treatment guidance regarding treatment duration, but we traditionally recommended 2 to 3 years of treatment after achieving remission. The new guidelines recommend treatment for at least 3 to 5 years. So we've seen a shift from a reactive treatment model to a continuous maintenance therapy, which brings us to what is arguably one of the most pressing clinical questions in 2026. How long is long enough for maintenance therapy? And at what point, if ever, do we consider stopping?
That's exactly right. It's a moving target, Maureen. The traditional 3-year window is now essentially the absolute minimum for anyone with proliferative lupus nephritis, class 3 or class 4. The latest ACR 2025 guidelines recommend a minimum of 3 to 5 years of maintenance, typically MMF or azathioprine, after a patient achieves a complete renal response. If we stop before that 3-year mark, we're looking at a renal flare rate of 25 to 35% within just 2 years. So the question becomes, are we stopping too soon?
And I think that's where the field is really evolving. There are now two distinct schools of thought. One aligns with the 3 to 5 year standard, which is a guideline supported and reflects a pragmatic balance. The other, supported by emerging data, includes follow-ups from cohorts like the WIN lupus, and suggests that extending therapy 5 to 6 years or even longer may significantly reduce relapse risk, particularly in higher risk populations.
Exactly. And that high risk group is critical to define. We're talking about patients with more aggressive disease biology, those with higher chronicity indices on biopsy, younger age at onset, and certain racial and ethnic groups, including African and Hispanic patients. For these individuals, a concept of indefinite therapy is increasingly becoming discussed, not as overtreatment, but as appropriate disease control.
Which raises an important philosophical shift. We're moving from a finite maintenance mindset to more of a chronic disease management model. And that's reinforced by another major evolution in the field, the role of belimumab.
Absolutely. Belimumab has transitioned from being viewed as an add-on therapy to becoming a foundational component of what we now consider triple therapy, steroids, mycophenolate, and belimumab. Secondary analyses from the BLISS-LN trial and real-world registries have shown that adding belimumab leads to deeper immunologic control, including more effective B-cell suppression within the kidney.
And yet, despite its benefits in achieving remission, we're left with a significant evidence gap. When do we stop belimumab, if at all? The current EULAR guidance suggests that if you start combination therapy with belimumab and MMF, both should be continued for the full 3 to 5 year period before considering tapering. But beyond that, we're really in uncharted territory.
Right. And clinically, many of us are hesitant to withdraw belimumab too early, especially in patients who required it to achieve remission in the first place. There's a growing sense that belimumab may not just induce remission, but help sustain it, which often pushes us toward longer durations of therapy.
And this is where biomarkers and histology may ultimately guide us. We're looking at new urinary biomarkers, things like VCAM1 or LCAM, to help us see what's happening in the tissue without always needing a needle. But until those are standard, a repeat kidney biopsy, say at 24 months, should be used to confirm histologic remission before withdrawing immunosuppression. Because we know that clinical remission does not always equal immunologic quiescence.
That's a key point. Persistent subclinical inflammation may be one of the drivers of relapse after withdrawal. As we define our tools, whether that's histological assessment or emerging biomarkers, we may be able to better individualize duration rather than applying a one-size-fits-all approach.
And this conversation becomes even more nuanced in pediatric patients. The 2025 ACR Pediatric Lupus Guidelines really emphasize early biologic use and aggressive steroid minimization with a goal of reducing prednisone to 5 milligrams per day by 6 months, and ideally discontinuing steroids altogether.
Exactly. And importantly, those guidelines move away from the concept of maintenance entirely and instead frame treatments as continuous therapy. In children, the disease tends to be more aggressive, and the recommendation is generally at least 5 years of therapy before even considering withdrawal. So in many ways, pediatrics is already ahead of adults in emerging longer-term disease control.
So if we step back, what we're really seeing is a paradigm shift. The traditional question, when can I stop therapy, is being replaced with a more nuanced one. Which patients can safely taper and under what conditions?
And I think the answer is, it depends. It depends on risk profile, depth of remission, possibly histologic findings, and increasingly the therapeutic regimen used to get there. But what's clear is that for many patients, especially those at higher risk, longer durations, potentially beyond 5 years, may be necessary to truly preserve kidney function.
And ultimately, our goal is not just remission, but durability of remission. Avoiding that next flare may be the single most important determinant of long-term renal survival.
Well said. And as more longitudinal data emerge, particularly with biologic-based regimens, we'll hopefully move closer to a more personalized evidence-based framework for defining how long is long enough in lupus nephritis.
So to summarize for our colleagues, if the patient is 3 years in and stable, we don't just stop. We look for a minimum of 3 to 5 years of complete renal remission. If they have high-risk features, we're likely looking at 5 to 10 years or potentially indefinite therapy if the biopsy shows persistent activity.
Precisely. Too long is only when the toxicity, infections, bone loss, or malignancy risk outpaces the protective benefit. As we mentioned, with our newer steroid-sparing triple therapy regimen that includes the use of biologics like belimumab, MMF, and low-dose prednisone, we can maintain that protection much longer and more safely than we could a decade ago.
Well, that was a very helpful overview, Ken. That's all the time we have for now. I want to thank you, Ken, for this great discussion and helping provide some clinical science, guideline recommendations, and practical knowledge into the question of how long is too long for treating our patients with lupus and lupus nephritis.
Thank you for having me, Maureen. And thank you to our audience for watching.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PeerDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PeerDirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, what's my flash briefing? Thanks today to our guests, Drs. McMahon and Kalunian. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.